Good morning. First case of morning. Well, the first case is actually settled, what it's worth, so we'll move to what was originally scheduled as the second case. It's County Materials versus Alan Block. Mr. Ahrens.
Good morning. I'm Gary Ahrens, and I will, of Michael Best and Friedrich, and I will speak for the appellant, County Materials Corporation. County asserts that the non-compete at issue in this case is not enforceable because it deprives county of the right to freely use information about mortarless, stackable concrete retaining wall products placed into the public domain by Allen as a patentee and others, and thus inhibits county's abilities to innovate, manufacture, and sell those kinds of products. The clause is contrary to the public policy declared in Bonito Boats, Sears, Comco, and a host of other decisions that ideas in the public domain are free for use unless use of them infringes a patent.
But, Mr. Ahrens, I don't see how a patent has anything to do with this case, because non-competition covenants, when they're reasonable in time and scope, are quite common, whether it's information in the public domain or not. I mean, barbers can have non-competition covenants. People can have non-competition covenants about all sorts of things. This happens to be about a patent, but I really don't see what the importance of that is.
Well, the importance of it is that the rule was actually announced in Transparent Rep many years ago.
Well, and I think many years ago is an important point here, because if you look at the development of the law of patent licensing, if you look at the development of the law of patent misuse over the last 30 to 35 years, there is a consistent trend from the Supreme Court, from the Federal Circuit, from the regional courts of appeals to look at effect on competition, not simply to say, well, there's a patent, there's a restriction, ergo something's wrong.
Well, there is a distinction here, and that's the distinction that's made by this court in Scheiber versus Dalby Laboratories. It is the distinction between patent misuse, which is an equitable defense to a patent infringement suit, and illegality, which is a legal defense to a suit, to a contract claim.
But let me back up. You'll agree, I assume, that a patent is a form of property, right?
I agree. Happens
to be intellectual property. And if somebody had some other form of property that was being loaned, if you will, for the time being to another person, you could say, we're not going to let you use things you've learned from our property for 18 months, you know, while we kind of clear out the competitive channels, if you will. So that's why I say I just don't see where the fact that this piece of property in your license happens to be a patent makes any difference. And I think if it's not, you're relying on all these really old cases about patent leverage and the like that have since been superseded.
Well, I don't think they've been superseded, because none of the cases that supersede them talk about the legality of a contract clause. They talk about what it takes to make out the defense of patent misuse to a claim of patent infringement. And in this case, because of the way the facts are set up, there can be no claim of patent infringement, because what county wants to do is to make and sell a block
that doesn't
infringe.
I mean, I understand from the briefs on both sides that there is no issue here before us that comes close to a patent infringement issue.
May I address your earlier question?
Please.
Okay. If you turn to SA-45, which is one of the page of the agreement in question that has the non-competition section in it, the non-competition section is Section 13. Right above it is the confidentiality section. The confidentiality section restricts the use of confidential information in perpetuity. So while there would be, in addition to statutory protections for trade secret and such items as trade dress, trademarks, and other false advertising, in this contract, there is also a separate and distinct clause that protects against the use of any confidential information that was transmitted by Allen to county. We do not challenge that clause. That is a perfectly sound and appropriate clause. What we challenge is Section 13, and because it's a different section, it makes it's it's obvious that it's not intended to deal with confidential information.
But here's where I keep going back to the fact that non-competition arrangements between people are quite common. You could have a couple of grocery stores who are in a joint venture with each other, and they might say, if we break up the joint venture, even though everybody's doing things that are totally in the public domain, you have an agreement that they'll be perhaps 18 months in a particular metropolitan area, maybe, where they won't compete.
Well, but that is in fact, in the context. There are two kinds of non-competes that are generally recognized. There are employee non-competes. And under Minnesota law, I don't think either side's briefed it, the employee non-compete is limited to those employees who have personal holds on customers. And if, in fact, Allen had wanted to restrict contacts with customers, it could have drafted a non-solicitation agreement in here.
I notice there's never mention of customer list. Everybody talks about sort of not the marketplace and all, but was that not an issue of actually contact with customers and knowing the customer base and having an opportunity to jump into that as soon as they would otherwise jump out?
There's no evidence in this case, and this goes to the confidentiality issue, which is the last issue in the brief. There's no evidence in this case that Allen ever transmitted anything that was confidential. What Allen is trying to restrict with Section 13 is county's ability to use information that was put in the public domain and which Benito Boats says is free for everybody to use unless it's protected by a patent claim. This is a case which is not in the normal stream of things. We have looked high and low, both sides of, I'm sure the court has looked high and low, to find a similar license case addressing an issue like this. The closest case that I found was a circuit court case, the Daljack case, in which it was stated that this kind of provision is an unenforceable contract. Virtually always, when we see the issue of what's called patent misuse, it arises in an infringement case. So that's why we look here to Bonito Boats, which is not old, which is brand new.
Well, in this case, these, like county materials and other producers, also are the sellers of this block, right?
Right, and other products.
And all Allen Block does is provide patented information, or information with regard to construction of the blocks and so forth, plus marketing tools and other things.
There's no argument about marketing tools. We would dispute that Allen provides anything, because when you have a patent and you get a patent, part of the patent bargain is you must disclose to the patent office in the specification all of the information that a person of ordinary skill in the art would need to practice the invention. So when you license a patent, what you're really just doing is promising not to sue for infringement. That's what a license is.
Well, let me get back to this, because this isn't a patent case, right?
It's not an infringement case.
They have authorized X number of producers around the country. When you left, for whatever reason, they had to provide then another provider doing the same thing that your company was doing, right? Or did they?
I suppose so. That was up to them.
Did you negotiate the non-compete provision in this contract?
Nobody on our side remembers. They say it was negotiated. There are marks in the contract that indicate there was some negotiation. Our position would be that under the issue of illegality, that's not relevant. And the reason it's not relevant is that what you look at in determining illegality as contrary to public policy is, do you want to have this non-compete in every patent license?
How does it affect what you can sell?
How does it affect what we can sell?
Right
now, it has, in fact, limited us to one single product. The market, and we're still sorting out what the scope of this is.
How can that be right now? Because it's long after 18 months at this point in time, and I was actually wondering what's left of this case since the 18-month period stipulated in the contract has expired while all of this litigation has been going on.
Okay. What happened was Allen did not counterclaim in this action. Allen then went back to Minnesota, where they brought a patent infringement case shortly after we brought this case. They left out the non-competes. When Judge Shabazz made this decision, they went back. They tried to get Minnesota to take the non-compete issues. Minnesota wouldn't. They filed a new action in August. Judge Shabazz tried it at the end of December. Judgment was entered on January 3rd for $270,000, counsel will correct me, in damages. But Judge Shabazz then added an extra sentence saying that the non-competes are extended to July 15th.
Of what year?
Of this year.
Is
and
that
we are in
this?
Post. We are. Excuse me.
Pending this appeal or something, or is it having to do with it?
As far as I know, I don't think that there. He has never mentioned this appeal in
when
any paper.
When does the patent expire?
It's 20 years, and counsel will correct me, but I believe it's at least another 6 or 7 years.
Okay, so we're not at the tail end of that yet.
No, for there's one patent that expires this fall. That's the 010. The 236 has for about 8 more years.
What about the Victory block? Is your company selling that?
No, we're not selling any block right now because of this later suit.
Accepted. Is one obsolete or something?
Well, we have disputes still about where we can sell and where we can't sell that are still pending briefing post-trial in the second case.
Why do you have disputes over the ones that were particularly exempted, the VersaLock and the Well block in the non-compete clause?
Well, because it turned another one of these agreements floated to the surface, and that has a territory that overlaps, and we're still arguing about what territory is what and where in the second case.
So the fact is that you're not – are you selling any of these retaining wall blocks?
At the present time, we are not selling any block of any kind, and it's a substantial subject of discussion between us and our clients. We are waiting because Judge Shabazz, to be frank, we were quite stunned when he extended without discussion the term of the non-compete. He made this statement when the jury came back with a verdict on the 29th of December and then put it in the judgment, and we both sides have briefed it.
Does that verdict affect this case in any way? Is there what?
Well, there's another non-compete.
Okay.
We raised the same defenses and other defenses in the second case. One of the points that I want to make here is that when you look at old cases, they will announce a rule. And then as we see the jurisprudence grow, we find the reason for the rule. So when we get to Benito Boats, we have this very clear exposition that ideas are going to be free. And unless they are prevented from being used by a patent claim. And that is the policy that this non-compete undermines. It squarely does that.
I understand that you're saying that, but I guess I still don't understand then why there are all sorts of other ideas that are not protected by patent that people are entitled to make bargains about. They're entitled to refrain from using them. They're entitled to have non-competes, wholly apart from patent law and wholly apart from the employee context that you mentioned earlier. Non-compete clauses exist in many different sectors and in many different contexts, and the fact that there's a patent doesn't mean that you don't have the ability to enter into contracts about what you're going to do with your property rights.
Well, but the patent law, the patent policy of ideas being free, and we're talking about ideas in the public domain, that is put in the patent specification.
I understand your point. I mean, you're sort of stuck on this point. Believe me, I've done plenty of patent law over the years, but it's a patent isn't like an Uber property right that you're not entitled to negotiate over. You can enter into licenses, as you yourself said. You can agree not to sue other people for infringements of your patent. You can separate out the make, use, or sell aspects of the patent. You can agree that you're going to convey a combination of a patent and other kinds of intellectual property, whether it's expertise, trade secrets, know-how, whatever it may be, and I understand your opponents to be saying that they did convey a certain amount of know-how along with this license. And it has become much more accepted in the law to allow people to to enter into contractual arrangements about what kinds of restrictions will be on these rights.
Well, but the policy is clear that the bargain that the patentee makes with the patent office is the limit of the claims that he can claim to restrict ideas. And whatever may happen in other circumstances, in this case, the patent law is preempts because of this important policy.
Okay. Mr. Needle?
I'm Kurt Niederlucky, and I represent Allen Block Corporation, the appellee in this matter. I think the court has identified some of the key issues that I'd like to address.
Mr. Niederlucky, can you explain to me how there's this explosion of litigation about this? It seems to me that this controversy between you and County Materials has shown up in way too many courts. If there's patent infringement litigation in Minnesota, and there's this declaratory judgment action, there are damages actions, and all sorts of other things, it's very inefficient.
I think the parties and certainly Judge Shabazz would agree with that. Your Honor, this original action was filed in Wisconsin for purely a declaratory judgment regarding this non-compete, one small piece, and this action was solely as to whether or not the inclusion of that non-compete was created an affront to federal patent law. And Allen Block decided at that time to allow that case to go forward in front of Judge Shabazz. Allen Block has other litigation in the Minnesota courts for the same patents that are at issue here.
So it was your position, rightly or wrongly, that the question of the validity of the patents and the infringement of the patents was not part of the same transaction or occurrence that was being presented to Judge Shabazz in the declaratory judgment action?
Correct, and in fact, our position was this is a covenant not to compete. On its face, it covers, it's not limited to only products that fall within the patents. And in fact, we moved to push that out of the case because whether or not it infringed, we did not believe should be a part of this action.
When you say it infringed, you mean this alternative product that the county wanted to make?
Yes, the victory block, and that is what is at issue in the Minnesota case and where there are.
How many products like that are there, roughly, in the industry, the retaining wall products?
There's certainly, if you're talking regional or among the U.S., certainly dozens of products. There's national products like Allen Blocks. There's a number of regional products. County Materials on its own has a number of various products.
And they're patentable. These are patented products, apparently.
No, not all. No.
Okay. Some products. Some are just cement blocks, I suppose.
Yes. I mean, there's your standard cement block that's been around for decades. This industry gained force in the mid to late 80s, and that's where the patents emanated from. As the segmental retaining wall block, which does not require mortar, developed, and now you see it all over.
Now, if this thing went the full 20 years, then the 18-month covenant not to compete, would that be a different situation? Would that possibly address or at least raise a patent misuse situation since it would, in effect, extended past 20 years?
I don't think so, Your Honor.
I know where that's not here, but I'm just sort of curious if that is at least a viable claim or at least something somebody could allege to say they're stuck for another 18 months and everybody else can use the patent.
Certainly that's a claim someone could make. I believe, as Aronson and Brulette addressed, it wouldn't be a viable claim because the consideration in this, it's not a typical patent license, but it's a production agreement. The consideration in this production agreement is not the patent. There's no leverage of the patent. So even afterwards, 20 years down the road, 30 years down the road, when Allen Block has no patents, it will still have contracts that provide that Allen Block can provide all the confidential information, know-how, marketing, etc.
Is it your view in this case, under this particular covenant not to compete, that they can't accept what is accepted, cannot market any retaining wall block?
No.
What can they do?
They can market, number one, they can manufacture and sell retaining wall block in 47 states in the United States. That's another indication that this was not leveraged from the patent. Certainly, if you were to leverage your patent, you'd leverage it across the United States. Further, the non-compete does not limit their ability to design using public domain information. The non-compete merely limits their ability to compete for a limited period of time within a region in which they had Allen Block's goodwill to the customers, because County Materials is selling to those customers, and they are the harbingers of Allen Block's goodwill. They carry
forth. Do these blocks have, you know, Allen Block imprinted into them, or just does the customer know it's an Allen Block block when they buy it?
The customer would know that through literature and otherwise. I don't believe there's an actual Allen Block name printed on them when they get shipped out. I think there's labels on them. Mm-hmm. And in addition, Allen Block believes it has a certain trade dress that would represent its blocks in a certain manner.
There didn't seem to be much information about the marketing, but so how does, I mean, I know you don't market them directly. What are your producers, how do your producers function in this way?
The producers rely heavily on Allen Block, as the Allen Block develops and provides to all of its producers the marketing. And it's described in the declarations of Tim Bott and Bob Gravier. Bob Gravier especially, and they provide all the marketing supplies for most of their manufacturers.
You're talking about the literature, brochures?
The literature, brochures, also the marketing strategies, how to go out and market this,
guess,
what are the best ways?
I guess I can be more specific. Where does the money come in and the product go out? I mean, who does that? Do they sell to contractors or the producers?
They sell to a variety, including contractors. They can sell to homeowners. They can sell to big box retailers even. There's a variety of channels of trade for this
but
block.
That's the point of contact where money changes hands is the producer, your producers around the country.
Correct. Allen Block, in many times, does not have a customer list from each producer. It relies on the producers to maintain Allen Block's customer contacts.
Do you have these kinds of agreements around the country?
Yes, we do. I can't say that virtually every territory in the country is covered, but I would imagine almost every territory is covered, and outside the U.S. as well.
Are there litigation similar to this on any of these?
With another producer, there's no non-compete in the other agreement.
Oh.
That agreement did not have one, and I believe it was because it was negotiated out. Although it's not evidence in this case. I'd also like to address the court's two comments. First, Mr. Aaron's comment on confidentiality and the fact that there is none. County Materials has not offered any evidence that either it did not receive confidential information, it did not receive engineering support, it did not receive marketing support. There is no evidence in the record to say that.
I found this the most bizarre disjunction between their brief and yours, I have to say, because you just now mentioned the name of these two people, I guess, who in their deposition relayed what sort of support and technical services and the like they gave to people like County Materials. And County Materials keeps saying there's absolutely nothing. So I don't know where we're supposed to find these ships passing in the night, you know,
joining. Your Honor, I think by viewing the declarations and the deposition testimony and not relying on the characterizations, I think the court will see. Essentially what has happened is County Materials was not satisfied with the detail at which Allen Block was providing this information over 12 years, and County Material wanted Allen Block to tell them exactly what day, what information was provided to whom. Now, Allen Block could not provide that information over 12 years. They didn't have records, but they did testify that they did provide this information, and they provided it over this long period of the relationship. And that is where County Materials says, therefore, because they can't tell me, they can't give me a fax cover sheet that has a date and a time and a to whom on it, that they have no evidence that it actually occurred. And we would disagree with that, Your Honor. We think that the declarations and the testimony are evidence that that did occur, and there's nothing in the record that rebuts that evidence. I'd also like to address the court's comment regarding the change over time, and we would certainly agree that it appears county materials is relying on a significant amount of old Supreme Court law that has been continually narrowed and overruled. And in that regard, would note that in both Judge Shabazz's order, where he notes that county materials failed to provide any evidence of overall harm to competition under windsurfing, which is the Federal Circuit 1986 at 782 F. 2nd 1001. That is the current law, and Judge Shabazz relied on that. In addition, even more recently in 2006, and this is cases cited in their own brief, Illinois Tool Works versus Independent Inc., Supreme Court case at 547 U.S. 28, substantially changed patent misuse law and stated that in all patent misuse cases involving tying, which this is a case that, if you believe their allegations, would involve what's called a requirements tying. They say we took our patent and tied the requirement of a non-compete to it, that the plaintiff must prove that the defendant had market power in that tying product. And this goes to the idea that no longer do the courts believe that a patent by and of itself creates the market power to leverage that patent.
And I was going to ask you, actually, is there any evidence in this record of the share of the national market that Allen Block has?
There is evidence in the record of the share, I believe, possibly of the national and certainly of the regional market. Mr. Gravier, through a declaration at least and possibly in his deposition testimony, identified, I believe, up to a half a dozen competitors in the local three-state market or even Illinois and Wisconsin market that
Do we know proportions? Is it Allen Block 90%, each competitor 1%, or is it relatively evenly divided? Do we know at that level of detail?
It's very evenly divided. I can't point to that in the record, and I don't know if that evidence is there. Certainly, that would have been their burden to bring that forward. But certainly, as a matter of fact, it is very evenly divided. I would be shocked if Allen Block has more than 10% of a national market. This is a very large market with a very large number of regional and national players. The crux here, I believe, is that the contract and the evidence that Judge Shabazz reviewed demonstrated that the non-compete was not negotiated with the leverage of a patent.
Would you agree, by the way? I mean, I'm a little surprised to hear that Judge Shabazz took it on himself to extend the duration of the non-compete, because when I first looked at this case, I thought, well, 18 months has passed now. What are these people worrying about? Why is County Materials at least now not free to, putting to Judge Shabazz's order to one side, would you have agreed that they could now get into this business any way they wanted to?
If they had complied with a non-compete, absolutely, they would now, if they had complied, be free to fully compete.
So you see this as some sort of punishment for developing the victory block?
Your Honor, no. This is the court extended the non-compete because, notwithstanding the fact that it was there, notwithstanding the court's judgment that is on appeal today, finding that it's valid and infringed, County Materials has never acknowledged, respected, or complied with that agreement. Thus, by the time we got to trial in December, only 2 months remained on an 18-month agreement. And under the court's equitable powers that we briefed to the court at that time, the court has the power and ability to extend that. And, in fact, we had requested that it be extended for the full 18 months so that we obtained the benefit of our bargain.
But why didn't you get the benefit? They weren't competing with you during the litigation, were they?
Judge Shabazz has not explained that yet. He said,
I don't see why you didn't get the full benefit of your bargain if you've had no competition during the period of time you bargained for.
If we have not gotten that bargain, yes, that's what.
Yes, you've been in litigation, but that's a separate issue.
Well, part of the purpose of the extend of the 18 months is so you could find new manufacturer and serve your customers. That's at least one of the theories.
Yeah, and certainly to have County Materials separate that customer relationship where all of its, Allen Block customers know that they call County Materials and get Allen Block from County Materials.
Well, County Materials has said they're not marketing any retaining wall block now.
As of the date of the court's judgment in January of this year.
But your contention is that they did market it up to that point?
Yes, I don't think there's any dispute that they were manufacturing and selling competing block, and that's what the judgment and the jury found in the other Wisconsin case. Without belaboring the issue of leverage, I'd like to just point out one of the, I think, disagreements in the parties' papers is whether or not this is a per se violation or whether you examine the contract, examine the negotiation of the contract. And I believe Zenith Radio versus Hazeltine Research, U.S. Supreme Court case from 1969, it's at 395 U.S. 100, addresses that very clearly. And they address it in discussing some of the prior cases. And they explain that the patent misuse only reaches cases where the patentee conditions his license on the payment of royalties on unpatented products. And it goes on to say that is where the patentee refuses to license on any other basis and leaves the licensee with a choice of licensing sole provided or no license at all. And the court states that where the convenience of the parties and not the patent power dictate the royalty provision, there is no misuse. Now, in this case, the evidence in the record is unrefuted and is by Mr. Gravier in his declaration, I think it's at record 81, that Allen Block did not condition the non-compete on the power of the patent, but instead condition the non-compete on the goodwill, the trade name, the engineering and marketing support, and confidential information that were provided. There is no evidence on County Materials' behalf that contradicts that statement. As Mr. Aarons admitted, nobody even remembers.
There's one other issue, and that's on whether or not this stuff stays sealed. Isn't that?
Yes, Your Honor, and I think that actually was addressed within the last 2 days. First of all, we believe that would be harmless error.
What'd you say about the last 2 days?
On March 20, I'm sorry, Your Honor, I'm looking for the order. On March 22nd, this issue, of course, has been raised at this level because the court, similar to, does not want to have information under seal unless it has a proper basis. And there has been briefing. We made a motion as the record came up to keep certain information under seal, and that motion was granted on March 22, 2007 I believe, 7 or 8 different docket entries.
Well, what about for what period of time? Is that final? It's going to be sealed? I guess the thing that, because I've had some actually calls on this, but I don't remember any finality of it, and that's what I'm...
But the finality of the decision, Your Honor?
Yeah, about sealing. I thought that was still sort of up in the air.
There was, we had made one motion. The motion was denied without prejudice to allow us to rebrief it. We rebriefed it. And there was an opposition, and on March 22nd, we received an order granting our motion, asking us to file two of the documents redacted as a public version.
Yeah.
And we did so. And I think the point here in terms of the review of the lower court is that certainly if this court has found that the documents sufficient evidence to substantiate the continued sealing of those documents. Certainly, Judge Shabazz was not.
I personally haven't looked at them. I don't know what is sealed, not sealed, and what's argued. And I just wondered, do we have to decide that, or is it over?
I believe it's over, Your Honor. Your Honor, County Materials also addresses the issue of federal preemption of Minnesota state law. We don't believe that there is any preemption evident here. Ultra precision allows states to make laws, including laws on intellectual property, so long as they don't substantially interfere with the federal patent scheme. Thank you, Your Honors.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Ahrens? You've got about 5 minutes, Mr. Ahrens.
I want to come back to the fundamental position that county takes. This is not a patent misuse case. With due respect to Judge Shabazz, we at my firm have acquaintance with patent misuse and equitable defenses. There is nothing in the pleading that says patent misuse. We brought a case based on the illegality. We have argued based on Scheiber versus Dalby Labs, where this court distinguished between the two defenses. In Scheiber, the court cites to Kaiser.
Kaiser Steel.
Kaiser Steel rests on McMullen versus Hoffman. And McMullen versus Hoffman predicates what the nature of an illegality examination is. In all cases where contracts are claimed to be void as against public policy, it matters not that any particular contract is free from any taint of actual fraud, oppression, or corruption. The laws look to the general tendency of such contracts. The vice is in the very nature of the contract, and it is condemned as belonging to a class which the law will not tolerate. So what's before the court is whether or not you bless non-competes in patent licenses that prohibit the licensee from innovating designing around the patent. And that's what, if you find for Allen, that will be the sequence. There will be a rush to drafting. Those licenses, one of the reasons that there is a dearth of cases is that nobody's had the gall to do this. We've had hundreds of patent misuse cases, and as the court has indicated, as Mr. Niederlich has indicated, the patent misuse defense has been expanded and contracted. But in this case, the distinction between what we are asserting here is we are not, in a patent misuse case, asking a court to say that we're an infringer, we violated public policy, but they're worse, so take away the enjoyment of a property right from them. All we're saying is you stay inside your fence. Now, why is this important? In Lear versus Adkins, the court noted that the licensee is the one with the greatest incentive to challenge the patent. It is for, in a totally different context, it's why developers have standing to bring fair housing suits. In this case, the licensees are the people with the skill in the art, the capital, and the incentive to design around a patent. If you approve what Allen has done, those clauses will begin drafting, appearing in licenses in every patent in the country. They will be in
Is the victory the result of a design around the patent?
It is. It is not patentable. It is a simple design around. And to sell that is what we've cited those cases that one of the reasons you get a patent, you give the information out. And while others can't infringe your patent, they can certainly use everything that you've disclosed to design around it.
But I take it that the question of the victory is it on appeal to the Federal Circuit or is it before the District Court in Minnesota?
Well, whether or not it infringes.
Yeah, whether or not it infringes.
Right. But I think, arguably, they've never contended that the victory infringes. That's the difficulty of this case in that...
Well, in this case, I understand they did in the other case.
We asserted that it didn't infringe. They've never denied that.
Is it marketable now, or is it...
It could be marketed. It could be sold.
Is this frozen in place until all this is resolved?
What has happened is that we have taken the position that because the jury awarded benefit of the bargain damages to Allen, Allen got its benefit of the bargain until 2 months were left in the non-compete. That we then shut down so that we wouldn't have any crossways with the court. And we believe that the thing should be over. Allen believes otherwise. Allen wants another 18. They want their damages in another 18 months besides.
They got up to July, apparently. Huh?
Well, Judge Chavez hasn't ruled on the post motions. We're in limbo at this point. We've been found to have paid damages on a benefit of the bargain standard, but we're also somehow getting an extra. We think they're getting an extra remedy beyond their bargain. But to come back to the point here, what will happen here is if you approve this non-compete, it will go into every patent license. It will be a standard patent license. And what you will have is the more important the patent, the more likely it will be there. Because the patentee will say, I see all of my threats out there. These are the people who will innovate around me. So I will simply remove the incentive to do so. The ability to market and sell removes the incentive.
Okay, thanks. Thanks to both counsel. This case will be taken under advisement.